This is a View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Tuesday, the 13th of February, Pancake Tuesday, 2018. My name's Patrick Smith. Well, what a 7 day. Well, first of all, a quick thanks to Joel Neal and Victoria Steveley, who stepped in as I went missing for the last 2 weeks. It's good to be back, and thanks to them, they did a fab job. What a 7 days it's been for the Belfast Giants. Qualification for the Challenge Cup final. A good win against Fife and a disappointment against Manchester that maybe makes the title challenge just a little bit more difficult. But we'll come to that. Coming up on the show, we'll be chatting to Adam Keefe. We'll be hearing from Jonathan Boxall, from Spiro Galakos, and from Omar Pasha. And we've got a very special guest panellist, but I'll come to him in a second. First of all, Mr. McGimpsey, how are you?
Paddy, I'm delighted to have you back. The last 2 weeks have been... Asking questions than it is answering questions is easy. Asking them is quite difficult, and you know. But some of the guests we had on, Victoria and Joel, were great. Simon was just average as usual.
And here is the average Mr. Simon Kitchen. How are you, mate?
The average Mr. Simon Kitchen's fine, mate. Thanks for asking.
How are you doing? So many home games being thrown at you. You must be talked out.
Strepsils. It's the way forward. Yeah, I mean, the one on Sunday was tough. I think it was probably the toughest game I've ever had to call for Belfast Giants TV. Just, honest to God, I really wasn't an easy game to call, but we'll come on to that in a few minutes anyway.
Absolutely. And the last member of the panel we're delighted to have on board, a man who, well, I put it out on Twitter that he had 8 domestic titles with the Belfast Giants. Davey quickly corrected me and said I forgot about the crossover cups. Let's put that up to 9.
Actually, 10.
10? What else have I missed?
The N2 Cup last year.
Oh, the N2 Cup.
Yeah, and I'm not sure, Paddy, did we win a charity shield in there as well?
We did. Mr. Jason Taff Ellery, the hardest working man in the Belfast Giants. Harry, welcome to the show.
Evening and well, thank you.
Have you counted them up? How many titles is it?
I mean, it's not winning them, it's taking part.
Yeah, you're trying to tell me you don't have like this big trophy cabinet with all the medals just stowing them
up. Just a box in the loft, that's it.
Wow. Listen,
converted loft in the trophy room.
We're delighted to have you on board. We're going to get stuck straight in to talking about last Wednesday's game against the Nottingham Panthers. Obviously, the Belfast Giants went into this game with a 5-1 advantage from the first leg that took place at the NIC the week before. Wasn't really as straightforward as maybe we thought. The Nottingham Panthers came out pretty quickly, but the Giants in a 13-goal game ended up 7-6 winners, which, Mr. Kitchen, quick maths, we ended up winning how much?
12-7.
I enjoy listening to you during the game, trying to add up the scores every single time.
Maybe he wasn't helping.
It's just there to look pretty, mate.
The Nottingham Panthers scored first. David Clark scoring within 5 minutes. But Sebastian Silvestre and Blair Riley on the power play made it 2-1. The Nottingham Panthers rounded off the score in the lead at the end of the first period. Their new signing, Mike Vasquivo says?
Yeah, Vasquivo, good enough, yeah.
That'll do. From Jan Svave and David Clark with the second of the game and the period, and they led 3-2 in the game. They came out again. Zach Phillips and Brett Perlini brought the actual tide within a goal in the second period before Blair Riley on the power play with what was the tie-winning goal. Sebastian Silvestre scored to make it. I'm going to count this up. There was 5-4. Yes. Colin Shields in the third period, about a minute in. And then Mark DeLargo scoring there before Jonathan Ferland scored shorthanded and in the empty net twice to round off the scoring. 7-6 on the night. And as Sid says, 12-7 in the tie. The Belfast Giants progress and they will face the Cardiff Devils in the Challenge Cup final on the 4th of March. In goal, it was Chris Trull, a late call-up for the game. 46 shots, 40 saves. And at the other side, Patrick Galbraith, who at one point gifted his second goal of the tie to the Belfast Giants. 36 shots, 31 saves. Your referees were Andrew Dalton and Pavel Halas. Davey, at one point the Nottingham Panthers pulled it to within a goal, and it was game on.
It was nervy times. It actually seems like a really long time ago, and it was less than a week as it goes. There's been that much hockey lately, but you know, the Panthers did come out pretty well, and okay, we pegged them back, which was crucial. But I think that the two goals towards the end, was towards the end of the second period, was probably the turning point of the game. Getting those two goals quickly, I think. Who gets them? Blair Riley on the power play.
Yeah.
The one Rudy was behind the net, pops it out in front, but then the sort of slap pass from Sheds for Sylvester to redirect, and then it's a whole different game. We were going into the locker room, and Simon commented, I think, during the commentary, at 5 minutes to go at the end of that second period, we're under the pump and we're going in a whole different. We go in at the end of that period, heads up, pumped up, fist pumping the crowd. The Panthers went in, heads down, walking down the tunnel. Kind of knew the game was up, and then when Corey rolled the dice, you know, came out there and pulled the netty twice with sort of 10 minutes to go in the game. And actually, it's not on the game sheet, but Spiro gets a block on both shots. From the Panthers have two shots, Spiro blocks them both. He should have an assist on both those goals. Fairly breaks away and scores the two goals. You know, it makes it look a much more comfortable tie at, you know, whatever that was, 12-7 or whatever you said that the final score was, than perhaps the second leg dictated. They came to us, what, 2-3 weeks ago and played the same kind of game. They got us down low, worked us down low, and got pucks back to the blue line and got shots away, got tips in front. Pretty well-drilled team. You just don't know what you're going to get with the Panthers on any given night. You know, then they go on the next two nights, the next two games, and they stink. They get beat 4-0 by Sheffield, and I think they get beat maybe 7 or 8 down in Cardiff as well. You know, but they can come out and score 6 goals against a very good Belfast side. We're kind of the masters of our own downfall at the minute. We're coming out to slow starts, and I think this was no exception. They came out, and it's a bit like Barcelona 99. Can't David Clark score? He always scores. It just seems to be, we talk about him on the podcast, and he gets goals against us. He just ghosted in there and picks up a couple in the night. But, you know, I thought they played well, but fortunately for us, cup game, we'd done all the damage the week before, and we had just enough to keep ahead of them, just keep ahead of them, and we clawed them back on the night. We ended up with a 7-6 win. Did we deserve a 7-6 win? It's hard to say. I think the Panthers played pretty well on the night, but we'd outgunned them the 7 days before. Unfortunately for us, we had enough there to win.
Taff, I'm going to come to you. You know, your man stood on the bench during this game. Obviously, as I said, the Nottingham Panthers pulled it back to within a goal. Atmosphere on the bench, was there any urgency there, or was there just a confidence that we were a better team?
I think there's a bit of confidence that we were a better team, but with this Challenge Cup format, seems to benefit Nottingham. You know, they always seem to, you know, find a way to score goals. They come out flying every time, second leg, and it's, you know, in the past, I hate the second leg. First leg, like you said, we're 4 goals up, cruising. We've got to score the first goal, and, you know, it's a 5-goal game. They score the first goal, it changes. And the momentum was with them at the time, but I think the guys on the bench knew that we could win this game.
Kiefer said in his post game that he preferred being a best of 3 series. Do you think that has merit in this league?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think it would. I think it would benefit. It would benefit. Yes.
I guess we're just too used to having an aggregate score as regards to looking at maybe football games. Says, as Davey says, well, the Panthers came out flying. They came out quickly and they really gave it to us.
It actually sort of carried on from the last home game that we had against the Panthers back in the middle of January. You know, they do play very, very well, you know, especially in our zone. That, you know, they cycle the puck really well. They just put a lot of pressure on you, and, you know, they always seem to get to the net. I mean, David Clark, you just know every time he plays against us, score. And he's just got our number over the years, and I don't know if David's going to stat on him any goals he scored against us, but he scored a hell of a lot, I know that. But that, you know, 7-6, it was, do you know what? I actually thought it was going to be a high scoring game. If there had been a third and fourth place playoff type thing, you know, once they started score, they scored the first goal pretty early, 3 or 4 minutes in. And we sort of get back into it, and you're sitting thinking, right, that's it, over and done with. But they just never gave in. And that's, as Taff said there, you know, it's one of those ones where they just get stuck and they try and you know, put pressure on you, just get the goal back, get it back to the 6-5 at one stage. But coming up right at the end of the second period, that goal by Sebastian with 4 seconds to go just absolutely drained them. You could see the energy being drained out of them. As said right on Belfast Giants TV on the night, you know, the heads were down. Everybody's heads were down, including the goaltender, who screwed up one of the goals again last week. He's a one for throwing one in it for us. Overall, the two legs absolutely deserve to carry on to the Challenge Cup final. And, next time, bring on Cardiff, and we'll see if we can do the same against them.
Davey, you were both legs, and you saw both blunders by Patrick Galbraith. Which was the worst?
Oh, I think he's gonna want the one from 190 feet back. They're both, you know, the second one in Belfast, Collins doesn't give up on the play and Sheds doesn't give up on the play. So there's been a lot more effort from Belfast Giants put in to create a goal. Okay, the goalie's made a complete howler behind his net. But, you know, that first one, John, on the first game, Furley's blocked the shot going across. He's down a stick. We're virtually on a 5-on-3 and Spiro's just throwing the length. It's not like a Robbie Sandrock where he actively put shots on goalies from that distance. You know, he'd get it out to the dots and he'd have a lash just because the goalie has to handle the puck then, gives him a couple of seconds to get changed on the bench. But, you know, Spiro has just threw that up and it's went through him. It's a bit unlucky on the goalie. You know, it's hard. You win as a team, you lose as a goalie. That's always the way it goes. But, you know, I think it was crucial at that stage. We'd got the two goals just before the period break. Sheds comes out, scores a minute into that third period, and that was really the nail in the coffin for them. Forced Corey into the 6-on-3 situation when we're taking the two penalties, and fortunately for us, we came out on the right side of it.
Taff, you know, that decision from Corey Nielsen to pull Patrick Galbraith on the power play, and about 10 minutes left in the game. A correct decision, just despite the fact that we got two short-handed goals. Was it? Do you think it was time for him to throw his cards on the table and try to get those goals?
Yeah, for sure. If the shoe was on the other foot, I think Adam would do the same. You know, if you're chasing goals, power play, you got a 6-on-4, you got a good chance to score a goal. You know, so but yeah, I think it's a correct decision by Corey there.
Yeah, and we go on, we progress to take on the Cardiff Devils in Ice Arena Wales on the 4th of March. Taff, your thoughts on that, the challenge that stands ahead of us?
Well, we've fared pretty well in Cardiff this year. And we pushed them all the way in our barn as well. So it's a one-off game. Anything can happen, you know. We're not changing anything. You know, we're playing the game the night before. We're travelling the day of. Whereas Cardiff are not playing the night before, so... No, I think we've got a really good chance.
Sis?
I agree. You know, we've already beat them twice in their own barn this year. We're taking 330 Belfast Giants fans who bought tickets to the USC at the weekend over with us as well. You know, and yeah, Cardiff are playing well, but there's absolutely no difference between these two teams. You know, we've seen the weekend before last that, you know, there's nothing in it. It's just a matter of getting stuck into them. And it's about, you know, if we can limit the mistakes that we're making at the minute, then, you know, we're definitely a good chance.
Davey, they qualified for this game having to come back against the Sheffield Steelers, who themselves had a 4-goal lead ripped apart. So Cardiff showing exactly what they can do in this competition.
Cardiff are a good side. They're not up at the top of the standings for no reason. But, you know, as Simon has also said there, we've been in there, done well since it became Ice Arena Wales. And, you know, we've been there with smaller numbers. I think it was about 2,000, is that right? And I think those double headers that we had towards the end of the last couple of seasons, you know, we've had much less than 350 following us. So we know what it's like to go in there with a large crowd up against us. But those boys in that locker room of ours will not fear that. You know, if anything, they'll be determined to win the championship on their ice. That'll be, you know, even sweeter than winning it on neutral ice. So, you know, It's there to be won. It's 60 minutes, maybe 65 or 70. I don't know what the rules will be if it goes to overtime. But, you know, it's one game of hockey against a good hockey club, but we're a very good hockey club as well. And if we can be defensively better than we have been over the last number of weeks, you know, when we bring that defensive game and our offense is that good, it speaks for itself. It will create, it will get goals. You know, so we have to be tight in our own blue zone and get good goaltending on the night, which we have thankfully got over most nights in the course of the season. We're a good team. There's nothing to fear.
We'll obviously come and we'll preview that closer to the time. If you want to get the highlights of this, as with all of these, Belfast Giants TV, where you'll hear commentary from Mr. Kitchen and Mr. Nijimso. Let's move on to Friday, lads. Fife came into town for an elite league matchup against the Belfast Giants, and the Giants walked away 6-4 winners. Two goals in the first period, one on the power play, both from David Rutherford. Into the second period, the Giants took further control. Jonathan Ferland and Steve Saviano short-handed on an assist from Ferland, made it 4-0. And then, well, we seemed to switch off. And there were three quick goals in around 4 minutes from Evan Bloodoff, Charlie Mosey, and Bloodoff with his second to make it 4-3. The Giants had to come out into the third and reaffirm themselves. And that they did. Steve Saviano with his second of the game before Ricard Bersens on the power play kept Fife alive. But Jonathan Ferland into the empty net with less than a minute to go. And that's his third empty net goal in two games. Finished off the scoring 6-4 in goal. Jackson Whistle was back in net, 33 shots, 29 saves. And at the other side, Andy Isles, 39 shots, 34 saves. Your referees were Stefan Hogarth and Pavel Hallas. As I said, you know, the Giants came out quick. They two good goals from Rutherford, and then started that second period with another two good goals, and then seemed to switch off.
Just stopped moving their feet, mate. You know, Rudy got off the cracker. Rudy's so skillful, and we know he's a point of game player for the Giants. That the amount of time he's been there, and he just gets into the right spaces, and he's pulled off two great goals. And then again, you know, we'll talk about something in a minute. He got two more there as well. So 4-0 up, we just stopped skating. We literally stopped moving our feet. Give Fife a chance to get back in. They scored three goals in, I think it was about 3.5 minutes, coming up towards the end of the second period. And did Adam call a timeout then?
Yes,
I think he called a timeout again. And we didn't mention that in the first instance, the first game.
Absolutely.
Called a crucial timeout when, you know, it basically Nottingham had pulled it back, and this was another one, you know, and that for a rookie coach doing that again, you know, he just knows when to do it, and it's worked for the last couple of games for him as well. So he managed to get back into it, and the three goals towards the end of the, two goals in the third period to solidify things up were well deserved, especially in the first 32 minutes, something like that, when we were absolutely dominant. But you can't rule Fife out. There's some guys there when we took a couple of stupid penalties and managed to get them back into it again. And that's sort of, we got away from that for probably 3 or 4 weeks. And you know, we kept moving our feet. The penalties we were taking were hockey plays and not stupid calls. And we took a couple of them against Fife. But, you know, 2 points is what you set out for to start every league game. And that's exactly what we got at the end of it.
Davey, you spoke to Todd Dudium last week, and obviously the Fife Flyers are doing pretty well in the standings. They're obviously the strongest team in that conference. They were always going to put up some sort of a battle. It was just up to the Giants to weather that.
Yeah, I think we'd play them in the Challenge Cup at home a number of weeks ago. We beat them 7-1, 7-0.
Something like that, yeah.
And you know, we've came out really well again and gone 4-0 up, and I don't know whether it's, you know, Taft might be a better man to answer that. I don't know if there's an element of, you've played Friday, Sunday, Wednesday, Friday. You know you're playing Sunday. It's a lot of hockey to be played in sort of 10 days. You're 4-0 up. You kind of psychologically just take a wee bit of the foot off the gas. And you know, in this league, once you do that, there's such parity sort of between at least 10 of the teams in this league. You take your foot off the gas. You're getting beat. You know, if we hadn't had that four goal lead, you're in trouble here. We seem to concede goals in bunches at the minute. We seem to score them in bunches, but we seem to concede them as well. So, you know, bang, 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 all of a sudden it's 4-3 and there's a bit of pressure on, as you say. The coaches call the timeout there, settle things down, give a bit of a telling off to the boys, and as you can see on the camera. And we go on then and get ourselves a goal, and we're riding the victory out okay. But, you know, it's one of those things. We're always, that's a hockey cliche, you're striving for that 60-minute performances. And there's been times since the turn of the year that we've got that 60-minute buy-in. And I just think it was just one of those. We just took the foot off your gas. It's very hard to get that momentum going. Like in any sport, football, no, once you slow down and you give your opposition, momentum is a big thing in hockey, as we all know. And once you give the opposition that momentum, it's really, really hard to get it back again. And maybe the coach just taking the sting out of the situation, calming everybody down. Let's take 30 seconds, 60 seconds, lads. Chill out and let's go again. And we went again and we obviously got back 5-on-5. We're a good team. We've said that all season. We'll get the even strength, go on, we'll go on and round it out with another empty netter. So John Ferdinand involved that one as well. And, you know, a good enough win and then onwards to Sunday.
Is that a fair point from Davy Taft, the fact that, you know, the guys maybe had their, you know, the amount of games they'd been playing in quick succession and the lead there, that maybe they took their eye off the ball and just needed a bit of motivation from the coach?
Well, I think it's been, you know, we played a lot of hockey lately, but Adam's done a great job, you know, giving guys rest and, you know, and picking the right times to skate the guys in gym and stuff like that, you know. But I think going at 4-0 against Fife, I think they were thinking, ah, oh, here we go again, another 7-0 game. You know what I mean? I think they thought it was going to be easier than it was for, you know, the first four, you know. But Fife didn't back down this time, you know. But yeah, and coming up the Sunday game showed, you know what I mean? You know, just didn't get off to a good start again, but, you know, just took the foot off the gas, I think. I think it was going to be an easy walk in again. But like you said, Adam called a timeout at the right time. You know, so, and the guys listened to him, you know.
Paddy, can I just jump in there?
Yeah, absolutely.
The things when Adam, obviously we're, you know, I'm 150 feet away from him, and he looks as if he's, you know, especially a timeout against Nottingham when he was, you know, you could see the veins popping out in his neck.
Yeah.
You know, if I was on his bench, I'd be listening to him as well.
Yeah.
But is he obviously getting the message across?
He gets it across. He gets it across, and once P is finished, he lets the guy go in the room, sort out what they got to do between themselves, and then he'll come in. You know, that's the guy sorted out between themselves. You know, Riles will speak, Furley will speak, Saviano, whoever steps up, they all listen. Adam comes in, then he gives his bit. So win a game, you know, score the next one, it'll kill him. You know what I mean? But, you know, lets him come. He has his say, calms down, and comes back on his say, and then back out to the third period.
Of all the coaches that you've seen on that bench with the Belfast Giants, Taff, you know, regards to motivationally with Kiefer, because obviously you've seen Kiefer as a player coming through the ranks of the Giants and now in his position as the coach. Plus, you've seen the likes of, you know, Doug Christensen, Paul Eddy, you know, Walser going right back, you know, Steve Thornton. You know, how does Kiefer fit in motivationally compared to all those guys?
He's probably one of the best that I've worked with motivationally. You know, does the right things at the right time. If the guy deserves a bollocking, he gives it. If he doesn't, he comes in. And you know, there's games where we're winning, he still comes in and gives it to the guys, you know? You know, there's only one other coach really motivationally like that was Dick Christensen. You know, but Kiefer, I got a lot of respect for him as a player and now as a coach. You know, I think he's going to be good for this club. For the future.
Why did you say Christensen? What did he have?
Doug was a good motivator as well.
Yeah. Just a shouter or an arm around the shoulder?
He could shout. Mm-hmm. He could shout if he wanted to.
Was he more, you're talking about Doug and Kiefer there, was it more, you just have to learn what the players need? Do they need an arm around the shoulder or a kick in the ass?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. There's certain players that Doug shouted at, didn't like it. There's certain players on our team, Adam shouts at, and they don't like it. But
name names. No tour talk.
You know, but, you know, if they need a cuddle, give them a cuddle. You know, it was like when I was at Cardiff, Steve Lyle. You know, he's going through a bad patch, and goalie screamed at him, it would affect his game. Mm-hmm. If you give him a cuddle, you come back stronger. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's a difference in certain players.
How difficult do you think it is for coaches to sort of isolate those players and know whether it's a confidence thing or a motivational thing?
Yeah, some guys need a bit of confidence.
And then motivate some guys need motivating, like some of the guys this year, you know, it's a stroll. I'm just here to get points. You know, Keith will point him out in the room. He'll tell him what he thinks, you know.
But I think there's also the case there of some guys just like to be told, like, you are the best player on our team.
Oh, for sure.
Even if they're, you know, they're good, but they're not the best player. Yeah, some guys react to that as well.
Yeah.
And then there's other ones, as I say, that if they do need a kick in the ass, that, you know, he'll hand it out.
For sure.
How is Stewie and Adam bounce off each other?
Stewie sees the game different to Adam, you know, because he's a defensive guy and he just feeds Adam information, you know, I think we need to do this, we need to do that. Stewie doesn't, as everybody knows, Stewie's a quiet guy. Stewie is not the motivational guy, but he will pull you to one side and say, look, this is what we need to do, blah, blah, blah. That's Stewie's role. You know, he can't keep it down sometimes, you know, when he's going blue. But, Stewie's there. He's a great assistant. And assist him with, you know, certain things on the ice where Adam hasn't seen something, and then obviously, well, this happened there, that happened there. And, you know, especially with video now, Adam's huge into video, and they sit down for hours and they go through the video, and, you know, Stewie's picking this guy, Adam's picking that guy. So they're working well as a tandem right now, and I think it's good for the future.
You speak of the video, I think that's something I want to come back to later when we talk about Manchester. What I'll do is just round off this game with the Fife Flyers. Davey, you know, Fife having that challenge, it was important, especially this weekend. We'll come on to Manchester in a second, but it was important getting this win, considering.
Yeah, I think Fife were... They've been up and around there, mostly due to their form and their own conference. You know, they're pushing that conference leg. They're absolutely winning it at a canter, and, you know, it just proves that the kind of inequality in the conferences, that you can just dominate your own conference and you just pick up what you can on the road, and, you know, especially in the cross-conference games. But, you know, they're going to win that cross. They're going to win their conference pretty handily and within the next few weeks. And, you know, they're going to qualify. I've said all along, I don't think they're going to challenge up at the top of the league, and I still stand by that. I think the league winners already kind of half decided, but, you know, if it's not, it's going to come from ourselves or Cardiff. It's not going to come from outside this conference. And, you know, the fair play to them, they've been pretty good, but I just think that their menu of games that they've got over the next wee while, it's just staggering how many games they've got to play, even in March, let alone February, where they're sort of playing three games a weekend here for two or three weekends in a row. I just think they've done too much hockey to play. I think Dutch was trying to get another body in before... I think it's Friday, is it? Then just to
Sorry, Dave, I asked Adam about that today, about the deadline. Mm-hmm. He led to believe it's the 1st of March.
It's dependent on something to do with the Olympic Games. Says it's maybe on an Olympic year it's extended, but it's January this week. But it may be because of the Olympics it's extended 2 weeks. You may be right on that one.
Okay.
But there's something different in Olympic years, so that may well be. You may well be right. Kiefer's going to know better than me, to be honest, but the signing deadline is usually the Friday after Valentine's Day. But as you say, with it being an Olympic year, it may be well extended for Fortnite. But that aside, Dutch is trying to get an extra body in there just to have a bit more depth, because just the pure number of games they've got to play. I know everybody's got to play a lot of hockey in March, but they have a few games behind it, and I think it'll catch up on them.
We're going to move on because we have another game to cover here before we get stuck in.
Can I do one thing? I have to give a shout out to Ryan Martinelli for Friday night's game.
Mm-hmm. He was brilliant.
Four assists as well. I think it was the first time he's ever had 4 points in a game as a pro, and he was brilliant last Friday night.
Yeah,
exactly.
What did I say? He was plus one, two. That's sorry. Just turn my page over here. Plus right one, night. Plus two. Right plus one.
Go on, David.
Plus two. Plus three.
I don't know.
Plus three.
Yeah, there we go. Right, let's move on to Sunday's game, unfortunately. The Belfast Giants took on the Manchester Storm for the final time this season. And the Storm, as they seem to annually do now, took 2 points away from the Belfast Giants from the SSE Arena, winning 6-3 on the day. And they hit quickest on the first period. Three goals, Luke Moffat, Scott Pitt and Matt Stanitz put them three up before in the second period, shorthanded, Darcy Murphy put on the Jets. Knew he was going up against a shorthanded. Knew he was probably going up against a forward playing D. Got past him and made it 3-1. But straight away, less than a minute later, well, less than about 50 seconds later, Luke Moffat on the power play made it 4-1. David Rutherford stepped up and with an unassisted goal and then another one for a lovely pass from Spiro Galakos. Give the Giants hope. But once again, the Storm rounded off the second period scoring Ryan Trends, and then Luke Moffat in the third period made it 6-3. A pretty stop-start game, which I know we're going to talk about. But the shorthanded Belfast Giants went down in a loss. The referees were Stefan Hogarth and Andrew Dalton. In regards to goalkeepers, Jackson Whistle, 38 shots, 32 saves. Mike Clementi, 38 shots, 35 saves. Davey, shots-wise in that first period, the Manchester Storm came out firing. They, according to the official shot count, obviously you'll have the ones that you guys have put together, but the official shot count said that the outshot is 15-5 in that first period alone.
We actually only had four shots in the first period. Which, I've missed that. You talked about a stop-start game, 79 face-offs in that game. I think that's a season high. It's, you know, an incredible amount of stoppages. But, you know, just some notes I made, which in the context of just doing the stats, is, you know, when you constantly turn it over, when you get outworked in your own zone and your power play tries up, you're in big trouble here. You know, I think that one of the crucial points in the game is that 4-1 goal. It's offside. Let's not make no beef about it. It's miles offside. It's a bad call by the referee. We've just got back to 3-1. The crowd's starting to get back into the game. The Giants are getting a wee bit taller with sense that, you know, we're a good enough team to come back into this. Even at 3-0, you still look at our team and think, right, it's still early enough in the game here. There's plenty of time. That really killed us. That fourth goal really, really was a hammer blow to our chances. And, you know, I just think in our own defensive zone, we let them get in at West way, way, way too easy. We're getting beat over the left shoulder too often down the right wing. And, you know, their stretch passes they're hitting us with. They're identifying the D-man to go up against. And, you know, coaches are doing it week in, week out now. But certainly Ryan Finnerty had a game plan there with that stretch pass to get on that shoulder and get Ryan and get rubber on Wiss. And, you know, there was times that they got in front and got shots on way too easy. There's one, can't remember which goal it is now. He goes down. Rayner lays the body, doesn't get him quite right, and he gets cut in front. Jarrett's got a decision to make and he goes somewhere in between and they get the goal. And we were just got at a wee bit too easy. We came out sluggish. We gave them goals. That's not being disrespectful, but we gave them goals and we allowed them to go in that 3-0 lead. We were pretty soft in that first period. And, you know, you can't let an away goaltender settle in. You know, it's 25 minutes under his belt and he's only faced four shots. You know, it's right in that second period we weren't getting rubber enough on him. And unfortunately, one of those games we left ourselves too big a hill to climb. And, you know, if you don't look after the puck, you're going to be in for a long night.
That's an interesting point you made, Tafu. This team has shown all season long that even sometimes when we have given ourselves a hill to climb, when we have had to try to come back into the game, we've been able to. What was different in this game that prevented us from getting back into the game?
To be honest with you, I was speaking to my dad last week and I said, oh, we went a few goals down, blah, blah, blah. We came back and I did say to my dad, you know what, it's going to happen to us one day. We're going to go three or four goals down. It's going to bite us in the ass. And lo and behold, it happened. It happened on Sunday there. Maybe it's, you know, like we couldn't get ice on the Saturday because there's a concert in the arena and it was busy at Dundonald. So maybe that could have been the reason. Guys looked a bit lethargic at the start of the game. So, you know, it could all factor into it. But guys should be ready for that team coming.
So in that second period, I think I did a quick calculator day at work. We're getting paid for it at the time. But I think with 5-on-5, there was only around 6 minutes of that period that was 5-on-5.
Yeah, the whistle was never out of the referee's mouth, in fairness. A lot of two-minute penalties called. But, you know, overall, the special teams really killed us. On Sunday, you know, I think they had three power play goals. You know, we had 10 chances. And I don't know how many shots we got in those 10 chances, but I'm pretty sure there, if you count them all down, there's only maybe two or three quality chances. Davey's 100% right. We didn't work Clemente anywhere near hard enough. No. He had a really easy night, especially in the first period. Didn't even break sweat. For us at home, coming out 3-0 down at the end of the first period wasn't good enough. And again, you know, Darcy Murphy got us a good start at the second, shorthanded goal. He speed to burn. I mean, I think it was Scott Pitt was the D-man. And he just made a complete idiot out of him and cut inside and started through the five hole. But, you know, we got exactly what we deserved out of that game, Paddy. And then, you know, if you don't put the work ethic in, you'll get nothing out of it. And that's one of those games where, you know, we've had a couple this year, Guildford away, Coventry away. You know, there's been two or three games this year where you just want to forget. But overall, you know, again, we talked about this a few weeks ago on the podcast. You're going to lose games. You're not going to be able to go the rest of the season undefeated. Our position right now, I was speaking to Brooksy after the game, for us to win the league, I think we're going to have to win every game now at the end of the season. I don't think we can afford to lose another one. You know, so, you know, every game is a playoff final for us. So, you know, with losing that game on Sunday against the Manchester Storm, I'm pretty sure Adam would have been tying that down to go, right, okay, well, you know, I'm pretty sure we're going to get 2 points there. We're going to get 2 points against Fife the Friday night. And then the following weekend, Edinburgh and Milton Keynes, you know, you'd be looking to try and get points against them. Did we overestimate them? Sorry, did we underestimate them? Possibly. Did we work hard enough to get the result? No, we didn't. And that's it. The bottom line is you need to basically work your nuts off to get what you deserve. Sunday night, we didn't.
Paddy, if I can come back in on just a couple of little things picking up on through the game. You know, if you look at a goaltender across the course of a season, all these top goaltenders in this league, of which Mike Clemente sits in those top goaltenders, have save percentages of 90% plus. It means you've got to shoot 10 shots to get a goal. With 25 shots across the night, you know, it's good for 2.5 goals. Not enough when you're conceding 6 at the other end. And things like committing to blocking shots. The Manchester Storm blocked 11 shots. That's as good as a goal. Blocking 11 shots gives you an extra goal on the night. Statistically, you know, we blocked 4 shots. Spiro blocked 3 of them. You've got to have the commitment. And just on Sunday, we had an off night. You know, you sometimes in sport it happens. We came out slow and we couldn't get up to the pace that we needed to be. The commitment level needed to challenge the Manchester Storm, who came out and they were fighting for every puck. They were out working us on the half boards and in the corners. They were blocking more shots than us, and they just, on Sunday, I hate to use this term, they wanted it more, but that's kind of what the result and the statistics suggest.
Taff, how much of a miss was Jim Vandermeer and Colin Shields in that game?
Huge miss. I think with Colin in the lineup, settles the line down, and then with Jim out the lineup on defence, you know, you've got, you know, Mace and Benny, you know, they're showing up the back end there, you know, but still, we still got quality defencemen that we should still win that game.
Says the Storm, you've got to give credit to them the way they approached it. Davies already broke that down as well. The fact that they did press so hard, they moved so quickly on the shoulder, they were able to, you know, they walked away with, as you said, a justified win.
100%. They absolutely deserved it. You know, I talked about it on the, I was doing the comms with Chris Truill, and we made it easier for them. That, you know, don't get me wrong, the Storm, you know, they're playing well. You know, they've got up to third without anybody. You know, they were first for 2 or 3 weeks. October, November, or sorry, September, October time. Then they fell away, and they get Jay Rosehiller the lineup, and they start to win games again. I think Jay Rosehiller's useless most of the time, but they're winning games and they're creeping up the table. They're only 1 point behind us now. Whereas if we had won that game on Sunday, they're 5 points behind us. So it's fine margins, but, you know, as I say, the big thing on Sunday, Paddy, was our special teams. And if you look, I've read about a lot of people slagging off the officials on Sunday. And yes, there was a couple of soft calls. But you know what? We give them decisions to make. You know, Sly took a stupid penalty in the second period. Mm-hmm. I think it was Springer had got a call, and we were on the power play. And then he flicks a guy's stick up in the air, right in front of the referee. Both referees put their hands up for it. You know, it's interference. It's a 2-minute call. And then in the third period, Marty doesn't get an awful lot of penalties. I know he's got 86 penalties a minute. So a couple of those are majors, but he doesn't pick up an awful lot of penalty minutes. And he got a slashing call. In all fairness, the guy must have been holding the stick with one finger, but he's given the referee a decision to make. Mm. So, you know, it put us in a, you know, and again, Sly took another one for abusive official right at that same time. So, you know, that when you're trying to gain a bit of momentum and you pick up a goal and you get it back to... put us on a 5-1-3. Yeah, was it...
2 minute 5-1-3.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think what the score was at that stage. Was that back to 4... Or 5-3?
5-3, they scored that. So they score them.
You're trying to push for a goal with 10 or 12 minutes to go, whatever it is, and that just absolutely drains you. So it's not ideal. Again, you know, we got exactly what we deserved out of that game. I'm not going to argue with you. And, you know, yes, as I say, you're not going to win every single game. I understand that. But you expect the effort. And then on Sunday, I think the guys realised that they didn't deliver the effort.
I want to move it on and just close up. Davey, has this really put the dampeners on our title chase?
It's going to make it very difficult. You know, it's kind of out of our hands. We can only look after our own selves. I know that's cliche as well. We have to look after our own games. And yes, the factors, you hate playing the injury card, but the miss of Van der Meer is massive. Shed's being out at the weekend, as Taff has already said there. It shakes all the lines up, all the chemistry that those guys have been working in their bunches of threes. You know, you have to go in and mix it all up with difference. And you've got Mace stepping in tonight, you've Benny stepping in tonight at the blue line. You're asking Cole and Rayner to play a lot more ice time because Vandy's not there. And, you know, Spiro and Marty are just going about doing their thing that they do. And that's a factor. But, you know, we've got, what, about 15 games left? As Simon says, we're going to need 30 points out of that, and we need the Cardiff Devils to go through a slump, which every team is capable of doing, but they've got an immense amount of buy into their process. You know, they are a team that mightn't be packed full of stars, some very, very good, talented hockey players, but as a team, they're pretty strong. They've been built really, really well to repeat their championships from last season. And, you know, our opportunity on the 3rd of March is massive to try and put a bit of doubt in their head. The Challenge Cup final, to me, is massive in the league run-in as well, because it was 3 weeks after that, that there's only going to be 6, 7, 8 games left after that. And if we're in with a sniff, if we can give them a real bloody nose on the 3rd or 4th of March, whatever date it is, it just gives you a little chance. The door is only very slightly ajar. It's going to take somebody very, very strong to kick it in, and it's going to be very difficult, Paddy.
The highlights of all games from this week in the game against Nottingham, Fife and Manchester, available from Belfast Jazz TV. I thought Chris Trull was very good, sis, but not as good as Davey, but very good nonetheless.
Yeah, he's a good lad, you know. Davey's top lad as well, of course.
Thank you, sir.
You know, Trull's, like, you know, he's, do you know what? He's put in a difficult position. Obviously, he's come in. And with Garside going out injured, you know, it's, you just can't take the chance to drop down and import if Jackson's available to play, you know. And unless Jackson's hurt, unless he's extremely tired, you know, I think he's going to play the majority of these games. And Chris, you know, Taff will tell you, and Davey's seen him doing the same thing. I've seen him in away games.
I was about to ask this, go ahead.
Carrying bags and, you know, doing water bottles and you know, it's just, he's just a top lad. I think he's after my job.
Well, that's like I saw it myself when we were in Manchester. Taff, you know, he's traveling away. He's getting stuck in. He's getting involved as best as he can.
Awesome. You know, great guy around the room. You know, doesn't miss a practice session. Doesn't miss an optional. You know, he's always helping out. Like he travels every game with his gear just in case someone goes down. But if he's not playing, he's always helping out in the back room. He's always doing something. Great guy.
How difficult do you think it is for him? You considered he came in, you know, as hoping to get more ice time, and it's sporadic at this moment in time.
And it is difficult for him, I think. You know, he's a long way from home. You know what, I think he's, you know, good guy in the room. Guys really like him, you know, but it's just unfortunate that Gas went down when he did. You know, but when he's given the chance, he jumps at it, you know. And yeah. He showed the Nottingham game last week.
Yeah, that's right. He came in cold. Yeah, I think he was ready to do an interview for BBC.
Yeah.
And he got the call at 6:50. You know, I got a phone call from Taff. Is Truly with you? I go, no. And he says, where is he? I just have no idea. And I was on my way around the West Lounge, and I'd said to David, actually, David was too busy snuggling up to Robert Fitzpatrick eating his chicken supper. I just get up here, and David says, I'll be with you in a minute. We couldn't find Chris Truro to go on bloody net. But you know,
I thought the way you were going, they were looking at me to do that. Says I was deep in a chicken burger there, like, you know.
Sure. And
good pregame, Davey.
That's it.
And you know, he didn't get a warm up. He went straight out onto the ice. Yeah. He literally just got the pads and all tied up, and his name was being called to go through the Finn McCoolan into the net. And he straight out, and he got off that difficult start. But how good was he? In the, you know, for the last 36, 37 minutes, he was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
Patrick says, we talked about it in commentary, and like, I obviously, as you know, I go back and do all the goals, cut the tape, and do the plus minus, all that. There's very little that you would go back and say, that's absolutely down a goalie. You'd want that back again. There's good players by the Panthers, there's poor play by D-men, and sometimes you've got to hold your hands up and say, well, that was a good goal, or that was a mistake. You know, truly, as you say, for 40 minutes a game, I thought he was really, really good.
I thought he did well. And again, being put in that position with Jackson, you know, feeling a bit of a twinge, I thought he did really well. And then, you know, Taff was there. Like,
I've seen Jackson come off, and I'm like, oh, I better go and talk to Kiefer. I run around and said, Kiefer, I said, you better get truly ready. He said, what do you mean? And I thought to myself, here we go. The curse of the Challenge Cup again. Here we go. He's, you know, it's that time. Late, Kiefer's face was just like, oh my god, no, that's all we need right now. And you know what, we got hold of Truly, came down in his suit. I think his suit was still sitting on the floor when the game started, so he did a great job. He didn't have time to stretch, get on the ice. It was it straight out there.
Fair play to him, absolutely. Well, listen, I want to move on to, we're going to mix things up a bit, and you come to talk to our guest, to our past, to Jason Taffer. You've got some questions that have come in, and we do appreciate your time, because we've got a game tomorrow against the Dundee Stars. So just briefly, you know, when does your day start tomorrow?
My day starts tomorrow. I'll be in the arena for about 7:45, 8:00 in the morning.
And that's just to start to get everything ready?
Get the fans put away, all their laundry set out. What I try and do prior to the next practice is to have all the skates ready to go. So basically, it's an easy day for me, easy start of the day. Time management more than anything. Once the guys come in, you know, can I get a stick and any chance you can repair that or whatever, you know. It's game day is pretty loose until about midday. Then it starts, you know, from midday right through till about 6:00 games. You know, when game time's on, it's easy. For me, it is easy. It's just, like I said, time management. And then after the game, you know, switch into TAF mode again and away you go. You know, it's a long day. It's a long day. You know, you just got to get on with it, you know.
You just get stuck into that routine, do you?
Oh, yeah. I'm used to it now. I like to have, just like to have my skate sharp by about 1:30, get a bit of lunch, and then it's make sure all the laundry's ready for the guys, any repairs they've got to do. You know, like tomorrow, after tomorrow's game, we've got to move out, go up to Dundonald. So tomorrow afternoon, once I've done my skates, we'll start moving stuff up to Dundonald and getting ready for the move out tomorrow night.
When it comes to that, because obviously there are, like you say, there are two locations, Dundonald and the SSE Arena. How difficult is it to flip between the two in regards to facilities and what you have to provide?
It's not, you know what, I've been here so long now, it's an easy routine for me, you know. So game will finish tomorrow night, 9:30. Guys will be out there equipment by 10, van loaded by about 10:30, straight up Dundonald, unpack it all, and then come back and finish off, do the laundry and get everything packed away for the concert the next day, you know. So, damn astronaut coming in tomorrow on Thursday for a talk.
That's right, that's right.
So, and then we've got X Factor Friday. So, Friday, move back in. I get an hour and a half slot to move everything in. So, unload the van, bring the bags in, ready to go for Saturday morning, you know. But Saturday will start a bit earlier because everything I've moved, like, from the other room, like bikes and stuff like that, all that stuff, physio beds and stuff, everything's got to be moved back out, put in position for the physios coming in and masseuses. And it's, you know, I'll probably get in for 7:30 for the guys coming for 9.
It gives an insight to, obviously, we spoke about that long road stretch leading over the Christmas period, about how difficult it was for the guys, you know, trying to get in the mindset and to be away from the arena. What was it like for yourself?
Loved it. Loved everything.
Loved it.
Honestly, you know what? Left on a Friday, packed the gate up Friday evening, got on the ferry overnight, Saturday morning, drive to where I was going, Nottingham, Milton Keynes, Sheffield, get set up. And then when the guys come in, they're like, this is just unbelievable. Just to see their faces, you know, they appreciate it, you know, especially going into Sheffield, you know, coming away for the win and the guys come up, thanks staff, that's all you, having it all ready for us. And, you know, there was one trip this year, we played in Coventry. So I drove to Coventry, set it all up. I was going to leave the gear in Coventry. And I thought to myself, no, I'm not going to leave it here. I'm just going to put it on the van, drive the car at 6 a.m, drove down, unpacked all gear, got all drive for the guys, laundry done, skates done. You know, and the guys appreciate it, you know, so it's, you know, something I love doing, and I wish I could drive every weekend.
This, one of the things that you talked about is going around the arenas and obviously that long road trip. There was somebody, I can't remember who it was, that said about an incident that happened at the Manchester Drizzle Dome, that they intentionally soaked the floor. Would that be a true story, or was that like a regular occurrence over there?
I'll be honest with you, the floor in Manchester's dressing room is soaking all the time.
That sounds about great.
Because I never put the bags on the floor when I open them. You know, whether it's from the night before where they've had a practice and they've mopped the floors or whatever, or they come in the morning and it's always wet. But I always take a few fans with me and a heater, and you know, it's dry for the guys coming in, but it is always wet.
Well, you've been in Belfast now for, is this your 14th season?
No, 15, is it?
15. You haven't changed a bit, mate. So have we all. But you must have heard some guys chirping on the bench. Who's the best chirper you've had playing for the Belfast Giants?
There's only one person can chirp like that guy. Pat Bateman.
What a player.
Oh, unbelievable. I'll tell you a story. We're in Coventry, and there's the front row, we sit behind the bench, and they were just chirping all game. And Pat Bateman was like, Jesus, these guys are just doing my head in. He said, they're really, really doing my head in. One of them made a comment, and Beatty made a comment back. He said, yeah, I'll get you. So we went back to Coventry probably a month later, and Beatty said to me, he said, Taff, you got any of that spray adhesive? He said, for wrap, you know, to put bandages on your arm. I said, yeah, I've got a tin in the medical box. He said, can I get it? Yeah, no problem. So I looked around, can't find Beatty. He's only sitting up in the seats where these people are abusing him with his stick, and he's taping it. And I'm like, what are you doing? He went, shh, he's spraying all the seats with his... he comes off a warm and they start chirping Beatty's going, how are you doing? Great seats. And honestly, they couldn't move. They were stuck to the seats. Absolutely hilarious. They never chirped him again.
Top, if I can go kind of backwards one step there, the previous questions that guys were asking, you're saying that you drove down that night from Coventry down to Cardiff and, you know, down there for 6 a.m. or whatever, and you get your laundry done. Obviously, you know, you've got a real good relationship down there with Deez and the guy in Nottingham. You've got a great gig going on there. Are you as a little band within all these organizations, the kit men, how crucial you are? Is it,
yeah,
you know, real reciprocal thing going on?
It's growing. Scottish teams don't buy into it. Brayhead do. Brayhead do buy into it, but everybody else just doesn't want to, you know, the Edinburgh, the Fifes, the Dundee, you know.
You know, I think I was talking to you and Kiefer down in Nottingham, and Kiefer was kind of the opinion it should just be mandated. When you get there, there should be, when you got down to Nottingham, your coffee sitting out, there should be coffee for the guys, there should be towels for the guys, and if that was the case at every arena, then it would be sitting waiting on those Scottish guys when they got here too.
Dally, like, and we still supply coffee for every team. We supply coffee for every team, even though you go to Scotland to Edinburgh, if you go to Fife or you go to Dundee, they don't supply it. We've got to buy our own. You know, if you're sitting there, you know, we'll return the favour. We'll put 20 towels out for you, 8 rolls of white, 8 rolls of black, 8 rolls of clear. You know, it's all there sitting for you. It doesn't hurt. And it saves me when I come back from a road game. All I've got to wash is my underwear, my jerseys and socks. And that's it. It saves time for everybody, even the home teams, you know, so...
Why do you think they don't buy into it?
Yeah. And I don't think it's funds, to be honest. I just don't think they can be bothered. You know, them two teams, Edinburgh and Dundee, they don't have full-time trainers.
Hmm.
But everybody else has a trainer or, you know, someone that does help out with the team. But I think it should be a league rule for every team. Every team coming in, there should be 20 towels, you know, tape, coffee, tea, whatever. And it's not hard to do. It's not hard to do.
No.
Especially without a rink. If, you know, Manchester Storm came in on Sunday and West Life in on Monday, all I just go in, I just take a trolley of towels out, take the coffee machines and it's away. You know, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt.
We got a question in from on Twitter from Matt Patton. He says, who's the most fussy player that you've worked with for the Giants?
Fussiest player? Oof. Jeffrey Suarez.
Why?
You know what it was the second time he was here? You know, I just couldn't guess. It was weird because he would play Edinburgh on a Saturday night and he'd be wearing... He'd have two sets of gear, shin pads, pants. And then he'd like to want to wear them pants tomorrow. I want to wear them pants. I want them shin pads, some shoulder pads. And I'm like, really? You know, he was weird. Hell of a player, weird. But then, yeah, Zemery, he was another one. When we went to Fife, he'd have to have a 95 flex stick. It was too cold, and then when we'd go Nottingham, we had to have a 100 flex stick to make it a bit whippier. I'm like, really? You know, honestly, I had 3 different flexes. What do you want this weekend, Des? And you go, oh, we'll go with the 85s this week. Crazy.
Now they can give you a heads up before you travel.
Oh, yeah, I always asked him, I said, what do you want, 85, 95, or 100? Oh, we'll go 85 this time.
Rebecca Hamilton, talking about sticks, she's tweeted into us, which player has broke the most sticks this season?
Oh, there's only one. There's only one. The Greek.
That's got to be Spiro.
It's got to be Spiro, I thought that.
Yeah. Davey brought up a stat, our resident stat man, brought up a stat the other day. He's the quickest Belfast Giant defenseman ever to reach 50 points. And that's up against some tough competition, you know.
Don't forget, he's been suspended and injured.
I've said that to him today in the interview.
You know what I mean?
You know, but he is absolutely quality. Like,
I've got a good one for you today. He said, Taff, is there any good Greek restaurants in Belfast? I said, I'll go, you know. 3 kebab shops. Absolutely get it, he was.
We got one in from John Ford here, actually. He says, it's interesting, how did you get into what you're doing and how did you get the GB gig?
By accident. I was in Cardiff at the time, and a friend of mine said, I'm going to leave Ali to watch the Devils play. Do you want to come with? I went, yeah, I'm out of work at the minute, so yeah, no problem, I'll come for the ride. So I got to leave Ali first period. Brian Wilkie took a hit against the glass, broke his jaw, and a gentleman, Owen Jenkins, who looked after the team in Cardiff at the time, Yeah, can you look after the sticks and the water bottle as well? I think, yeah, no problem. So after the game, I packed up all the sticks, water bottles, put them on the bus, took all the jerseys, put them all away for him. And John Lawless turned around to me and said, what are you doing Tuesday night? And I went, not a lot. He said, well, I've got a job. See you Tuesday. And that was that. And then I did such a good job with GB. I helped out with the GB team when they were we had the World Championships Pool D in Cardiff many years ago. And then who's the guy? Tony Day from Hull. He was the equipment guy, and he said to me, would you like to, you know, join me for the GB? And I went, yeah. So went to Milton Keynes. I didn't go that year with the team, and they won gold medal. So they said, look, after this tournament, you're in next year. So, and that's ever since, you know, 17 years with GB, you know.
There's been some standout players, of course, that have played for the Giants over the years, Taff, you know, Jason Ruff, for me, the greatest of them all. Would you have someone that you would hold slightly in higher esteem than the rest? In terms of ability and just what he brought to the game?
Jason Ruff is my all-time number one. All-time number one. On and off the ice, absolute gentleman. You know, awesome player. You know, could do everything. Off the ice, fantastic. Great family man. But I got a lot of time for him. We had really good friends, both of us. You know, if you're going to have a fan appreciation, I think you should bring over Ruffles.
We are talking about, we're in negotiations.
I'm telling you, you can come and stay with me. Not a problem. Love the guy.
It's interesting. A lot of people saying that above like somebody who had the talents of like Theo Fleury.
Yeah, Theo was different. You know, Theo. You know, he was a great guy, really good guy. But he had some good players playing around as well with Eddie and Shieldsy at the time. But yeah, Theo was good. He kept himself to himself, really. You know, he's trying to prove to people that he could still play the game. And you know, with his past, and you know, and he told some great stories, and honest, he was an honest guy, you know, we had a good bond. I visited him a couple of times in Calgary, you know, so, yeah, but Jason Ruff would be my number one, probably. I'd have Kiefer as number two, and then Steve, that's it for me.
He walked into my house tonight with Steve Saviano's shirt on, like, yeah, promise it. one of the things that again, we're patting himself and Dave are all Belfast Giants fans. You know, I think you've gathered that part. And you know, we're watching this team and this organization build from year one and obviously to where we are now. And they said it would never last. You've been there for 15 years now. What's the strangest thing you've ever seen happening at the arena, or even whether it's on the ice or off the ice?
Strangest thing.
It can be team related or it can be, you know, off the ice.
Couldn't really say.
You're not allowed to say.
I could say, but strangest thing. Wow. Been a lot.
Now I'm interested.
It's been a lot. I couldn't really say, to be honest with you.
What about the local boys? You know, they all come in. They've had some real crackers, yeah. Obviously. Mark Morris and Davies got a romance going on with him. Garth Roberts, Garth Martin,
Wally, you know.
Hugh Smith. Kevin Kelly.
Seeing them kids coming through. I met Graham before I came to Belfast. He was at a GB Prospects in Cardiff at the time. And we knew each other from there, but when I first came here, you know, it was awesome. Great bunch of kids dying to play for the Belfast Giants. After all the success they had the 3 years before I came here, you know, they said, you know, chomping at the bit, and they had the tryouts and stuff like that. And they came in and they loved every minute of it. They listened to everything. And that's one thing that was missing here, getting proper coaching for kids, you know. And just think them guys, like Wally got a testimonial. Matt Morrison, I don't know how many games he played, you know. Gareth Martin, Chris McGimsey, you know. Chris McGimsey, who would have thought he would have shutouts in the league?
That's right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Couldn't even stand up skating. Couldn't skate. Yeah, you can stop the puck, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, no, it was good seeing him coming through. I'll tell you one thing, one strange thing I've seen.
Go ahead.
So Mike Menard's playing in net for the Belfast Giants. And second period, and he hurt his knee. And he said, I can't go. He said, I can't go. And they said, you're up. Gimper said, I can't go. He said, what do you mean? He said, I high-fived Wally on the bench, he said, and I snapped my collarbone. Snapped his collarbone. Didn't you know that?
No. Yeah. That takes us back, Taff, nicely to that season where Minnie's obviously gone down, Gipper's gone down, brought in Nathan Kreas, who turned out to be sensational for the short period of time there that season. And we've ended up with backup netminders like Jason Taff Ellery, David Shields.
David Shields, yeah.
I couldn't tell you how many goalies we had, 5 or 6 goalies that season. I think this season's one of the...
One as well.
Sorry?
It's a strange moment as well because Nathan Craze got picked for Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
And it just left Mike Menard and me. So I had a kid up against Nottingham. Kurt Bowen was playing for him at the time. And I think we're winning like 5-3 or something like that. And I'm on the blue line and I'm in Gimper's goalie equipment. And I'm shouting at the Nottingham trainer going, Adam, Adam. And he's looking around. He's going, someone's shouting at me. I said, goody, goody. He's looking around. Who's shouting at me? I lift my mask. I said, it's me inside the mask. He said, you're kidding me. And I went, oh, God. He said, that you're nuts. And I'm taking shots in warm-up and everything. And then 3 minutes to go in the game, Mike Menard takes a skate across the throat. And there's blood pissing everywhere. And I'm like, oh, God. And the fans are going, bring on Taff, bring on Taff. And I'm like, not a chance. Not a chance. I was kicking myself.
To be fair, you've better stats than Kevin Kelly, but that was a season there where you wouldn't have expected to be sitting up on the same bench as Theo Fleury. That's probably one to tell the grandkids.
That's funny as well because when Theo came in, I picked him up at the airport with his 32 bags, 12 clubs. So then they said, right, I'll take all your stuff to the ring. So he took Theo to his apartment. Yeah, that's good. Theo walked, and I told him I'm the trainer. But then he walks in the dressing room, goes round the room, shakes hands with everybody, and I'm in the goalie equipment. And he's going, but you're the trainer. Part-time goalie.
Well, you know? Welcome to the Elite League.
Yeah, right? Right, no. So it was quite funny, actually.
Do you think, Taff, that season that the Coventry Blaze and maybe some of the Coventry Blaze support crossed the line with the abuse that Theo, I know that Theo was very quick to jump on some of it, but it was obviously, I remember being in Toronto actually and picking up the newspaper and it was on the front page of the newspaper on a Monday morning, Theo trying to get out of the penalty box.
Absolutely awful, because they were throwing bags of talcum powder in, you know, in the penalty box, and I, you know what, the guy's had a tough life. If you've read his books, read it, you know. You can see what he's gone through. There was no need of it. No need of it. And then we played in the Challenge Cup semi-final or something like that, and he got his teeth knocked out by Evan Chevry.
Yeah.
And the next time we went there, there's a girl. She had to be over 6 or 7 years old. And she had a poster, Theo the Tooth Flurry. You know, she made a picture of him. And I'm like, really? You know, and then the same night, he went off the ice. And his girlfriend, his wife at the time, fiance, I think, someone threw a 2-pence piece and hit him in the head. And he went absolutely, it took about 5 of us to restrain him. You know, and one of them was Jason Bowen, trying to restrain the guy. He thought he was going to kill someone. But they did step over the mark.
Being on the bench for his debut.
Yeah.
It must have been something. I remember sitting in the crowd watching it. Like, it was just fancy.
Unbelievable, mate.
Yeah. Was it 7 points? Uh-huh. Three plus four. Yeah.
And a fight against Freddie Adu.
Do you? God rest his soul. But yeah, you know, he battered him as well.
he did as well. Yeah, it was a hell of a night. When it comes to the, we're going to move it on in a second, but we could sit here and chat the all night. You've been through quite a few coaches. I'm going to leave out Kiefer, because it wouldn't be fair to that. But when you look back at the other guys, I would say maybe Steve Thornton as well. But you know, who stands out with regards to the lads running the bench? You know, Eddie, Hand, Courtney, Thornton.
Eddie was in his own class. You know, he was a quiet man, kept himself away from the players. And I respected him for what he was. You know, didn't get involved with the players. He just came in, did his job. Never hung out with the guys, never went for a beer with the guys. He was just his own person. Dougie, I like Dougie a lot. He was a bit quirky at times. And then Eddie Courtney, you know, player coach. I don't agree with the player coach, but he did well as a player coach. But he was, you know, I'll be honest with you, all the coaches that have come in are all good recruiters. They've all done a great job.
And obviously this season, you've had a guy who's been in your locker room. You've been, you know, changed his nappy for 6 or 7 years. And obviously, you know, he's now the boss.
Yeah.
How do you think he's getting on? You've watched a lot of hockey. How do you think he's getting on?
Awesome. Absolutely fantastic. You know, he's done a great job, and I respect him. And I was speaking to him, I can't remember where it was. You might be in this time, but I was sitting with him, and Killer and no, it wasn't Killer. There was a couple of guys who were talking about me anyway, and they said, are you going to stay in Belfast? And I said, look, I've had a few offers from clubs, not just from here, from, you know, I could have gone to China last year. And start of last season, I got an offer from a club, and I turned around and I said, look, I said, this guy's first year's coach, and I respect him a lot. He's done a lot for me over the years, and I don't think I could let him down. That's how highly I think of Kiefer. I think he could be the best thing for the Belfast Giants going forward from here. I think he's going to be one of the top coaches in this league. And you know what? To get called up for the group national team his first year, you know, there's other coaches out there that could have taken it.
Did you put a good word in for him, Pete Russell?
Nah. Nah, I didn't need to, mate. You know, what he's done this year, he's
deserved it.
He's on merit.
Absolutely,
he's on merit.
100%.
So he could be up for coach of the year, I'll be honest with you. First year in the game, you know, so you never know.
And do you think that maybe all the coaches to an extent reflect their playing style? You know, if Dougie's team were a bit defensive, but vanilla, I think it was labelled at the time. You know, 80s was offensive, Stewie's was defensive, yeah. Wally's was loosey-goosey, and, you know, Kiefer's has got that little bit of an edge, just all styled on. Kind of suppose it's hard. You play the game and you teach the game to other people the way you've played it.
But yeah, but Adam's got a good mentor in his brother. And his brother will tell you, Kiefer will tell you. And you look at the NHL now, it's all about speed. It's all about speed now. It's none of this, you know, defensive. It's get that puck up. Get up as quick as you can, you know. You can't stop speed. It shows with Darcy Murphy. You know, speed is the key. And that's the way forward. And that's the way Kiefer's going to build his team, I think, is speed.
You've had a couple of you know, obviously, there was a big turnaround in players this past summer. And, you know, I think it was 9 or 10 you guys
came
in.
Something like that.
And one of the guys that was returning, you know, you come in the house tonight with Steve Saviano shirt on.
Yeah.
Everybody I've spoke to, and I mean, it's been around the Giants a long time as well. But anybody there that I've spoke to, especially in the couple of years, who's one of the best teammates you've come up? Saviano was always mentioned.
Oh, fantastic. You know what? The size of the guy and, you know, his heart and commitment to the team, you know, and what he puts on the ice is out of this world. And he's an absolute gentleman. And you don't get, you know, and that's this year. We have got a team of gentlemen. You know, people can say what they want about certain players. He is an absolute gentleman. All of them.
Do you have to get a skates from Baby Gap or something?
baby gap. No, it's okay. I don't pay VAT on his case. So.
It's interesting you say about it being like a room of gentlemen. How often is it that you get a room that has maybe a toxic element?
You always have one or two in the room, but this year has just been, even Rudy coming back this year, different mentality. He's come in late and he's looked at the guys and thought, these guys are awesome. You know what I mean? And every guy in that room, fantastic. Every one of them.
I think that's a good place to round this section off. We could continue this on for another hour, but
I took this job up in 1990. I left a good job in 1996, turned professional. I left a good job, and my dad turned around to me and said, "You'll never get anywhere in hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Never get anywhere in hockey." And I got my 125th cap for Great Britain, and the first person to phone me was my dad to congratulate me and say, "Well done, son." And anybody who wants to be a trainer out there, you've got to work at it. You've got to work at it. It's not going to happen overnight. You know, it takes weeks, months, years to get where I am. And you know what? It's the best job in the world.
I think I'll leave one question. Why the Belfast Giants for so long, Taff?
I bleed teal.
That's it.
I think that's it. Let's move it on to a couple of interviews. We're going to hear in a second from Adam Keefe, but first up, we mentioned him earlier on that he breaks a lot of sticks. Spiro Galakis.
Spiro, disappointing weekend if you look at it from a point of view of not picking up the 4 points that you were after. But the win against Fife and then obviously the loss against Manchester. I think it was more of the performance that hurt the guys.
Yeah, I don't know, it seemed sluggish, maybe a little tired or something. Didn't put together 60 minutes, obviously, and they're obviously a team that's on a roll and came in here and kind of took advantage of what seemed to be a tired team that night.
Moving into this week, another three games in a short space of time, 5 days. Dundee up first. They've already beat us twice this season, so you know that they're going to come with a good chance of obviously overconfidence as well.
Yeah, at this point, I think it's just we got to worry about ourselves and put our best game forward. And I think we'll like the results for sure. But when we lose, we're kind of just beating ourselves at this point. It's not necessarily that the other team's taking it to us. So,
but going back, you're the quickest defenseman to ever reach 50 points for the Belfast Giants. There's some accolade considering the history of some of the defensemen we've had in Belfast.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that at all, but just fortunate that, we got a pretty strong team this year and obviously got a lot of offensive power and just been able to contribute. And yeah, it's a nice honor to have, I guess.
Do you think you would have made a wee bit quicker if you hadn't spent 189 minutes in the penalty box?
I'd like to think so, but never know.
Spiro, thanks for your time.
No problem.
Adam, next weekend, let's start on Friday night against Fife. Great start. Managed to let Fife get back into it, but overall picking up a 2 points and a victory that a team chasing you was very important.
Yeah, I think I liked the way we started the game against Fife, and obviously it was just a matter of time before we got those goals when we got the big lead, and then we got complacent, let them back into the game, and they're a dangerous team. They have some dangerous offensive forwards that can strike when you give them a chance, and they did. And then second period, for about 5 minutes there, we had a lapse in judgment there, and we conceded three. Third period, I thought we were back to being all right. We took over the game again, and just I thought they did the right things to make sure that we saw out that game. Gave them Saturday off to recover, no ice here, and maybe that was a mistake. We came out real flat Sunday against a Manchester side that's 3 points back from us, or was 3 points back from us, and it was a massive game, and it looked like Manchester wanted it more.
It doesn't get any easier. Three more games this week, starting tomorrow evening against Dundee, and Dundee have had some good form in the last few weeks as well.
Yeah, they're a team that's battling for playoffs. They can't afford losses. I watched the interviews and the game versus Brayhead last weekend. They had a back-to-back with Bray, which is a massive, you know, you think about our back-to-back with Cardiff and how big that is for the Elite League title run. You know, they just had a back-to-back with Bray at Clan, which, you know, make or breaks their, or could make or break their playoff run. And, you know, they lose both, and you could see the disappointment in Pash's face and, you know, the rest of the team. And obviously they're a team that's battling hard. And you know, in his comments, I'm taking words out of his mouth, and I don't blame him. You know, now they have to go and they got to steal points from big teams. And we're one of those teams that's up next for them. So I expect nothing different than the best, but Dundee Star team we've faced yet, and that's a scary prospect because we've already lost twice to the Dundee Star, so we know that they can compete, and they have a lot of little fast skilled players, and they got some big guys, some big bodies that can put the puck in the net as well. So we're going to have to be at our best, and that's just what we have to do. We have to be at our best every night. You know, we got to find a way, and if you're not feeling it on the night, you got to find a way to contribute, whether or not that's chipping pucks and being simple and not costing us. And that's the key. Not everybody's going to be feeling 100% on every given night. So you got to find a way to contribute. You got to find a way to be a positive, having a positive impact on the game. And we didn't do that on Sunday, and we lost as a result, and we're going to have to do it on tomorrow.
You know, you got to this stage where a few weeks ago you were looking to get more or less everybody healthy, less Garside and Stephen Murphy. Dustin John are coming back into the lineup, and then you've lost Jim Vandermeer and Colin Shields. Is there any update on those two guys?
Well, Vandermeer's he's a bit long term. You know, he's not coming back anytime soon. Hopeful for the playoffs. We'll see. We'll see how he progresses. That's just an unfortunate thing. And yeah, we certainly miss him, and obviously his experience on the back end, that's for sure. I mean, his resume speaks for itself, and you can see that experience on the ice. So we certainly miss that. And then you take the other guys out of it. Colin Shields is a top end British national player that we are lucky to have, and you take him out of the lineup, and it hurts our depth significantly. And and then you take out the Stephen Murphys and the Mark Garsides, and we're certainly hurting in that department. But we still have a very capable team. There's no excuses, and we won't be making any. Everybody's got to step up and pull their weight.
And then they're not 2 weeks before the deadline. Is there a chance of, obviously missing Jim Vandermeer, is there a chance you might be looking out for maybe a bit of help on the back end?
Certainly always looking for anything that can improve our hockey team, whether that's a forward or a defense. Certainly defenseman is the area that we could use a little boost in right now. But, we have very capable guys to go in that lineup right now. And Benny and Mace have been... Benny's a forward that's transitioned well into a defenseman. He's smart, he's simple, and he gets the job done for us. And Mason's a guy that we took out of retirement, and he's done a great job for us as well. So, I mean, again, there's no excuses, and we have what we have right now. We got to get the job done. If the right player comes along, I'm sure that we'll try and make a move if he makes this club better.
Time to reveal who won January's Player of the Month award, sponsored by Phonacap. We give you your four nominees, and over 850 of you cast your vote to decide on the winner. So, with 10% of the vote was Brandon Benedict. 11% of the vote went to Darcy Murphy. 24% of the vote went to Spiro Galakis. And with 55% of the vote, and the first player to have his name on the A View from the Bridge Player of the Month trophy twice, it's Jackson Whistle. Congratulations to Jackson, as I said, on winning it for the second time, and thank you to everybody who cast their vote. And of course, thanks to Fun Academy for sponsoring the award. Congratulations to Jackson Whistle winning the Player of the Month, Davey.
He did indeed. And he won it well. He had to face an awful lot of robbery. He had to face an awful lot more games this season than probably he anticipated at the start of the season. And then, obviously, with Trulli coming in, maybe thought he was going to get the odd night off and maybe not have to train as much. But obviously, Gary going down put paid to that. And he's done really well. It was hard to pick a shortlist, let alone, you know, players. Some players had phenomenal months, but, you know, Jackson's done really well. He's got his numbers are up now over 900 through 60 games for the club. Goals against average below three. You know, he gives us a chance to win most nights. And, you know, we get a 60-minute game. We get a defensive performance in front of him. And as I said before, our guys will always score goals and Jackson will stop the puck. You know, he's done really, really well. He looks like he went the same primary school as Alex Foster at times when you see him after the games. When he's, but, you know, he is dedicated in that he'll get straight out of the locker room while all the guys are getting themselves and he's on the foam roller and he's on the baseball and he's getting himself. His first thought after when a game finishes, get myself ready for the next game, get myself ready for practice. He's dedicated to the Belfast Giants and, you know, and he's had a really, really good month and he's got his name on, the first player ever to have his name on that trophy twice.
Simon?
Yeah, great. You know, he's been, since Stephen Murphy went out, he's had to pick up a majority of the load. He's only missed a couple of games since. And he's just so laid back. Like, I mean, I think he's been outstanding. I think the percentage of the fans that voted for him just goes to show how highly thought he actually is in Belfast as well. So congratulations to him for the first time that anybody's ever won it twice. And we're only in our second season. But, you know, it's twice in 3 months he's won it.
Twice in 3 months, November and January.
Yeah, well, you know, again, there's still 3 months to go, so you never know, he might win another one.
Taff, your thoughts on Jackson Whistle, how he settled into the role as being, number one, that matter?
Yeah, after last year, he had a troublesome year with his injury there, but after his surgery. But this year, he's a totally different kettle of fish. He's before practice, after practice, before games, after games, he's stretching. You know, his physique is a lot better than it was last year. He's lost a lot of weight. And he seems more committed. I think he realizes his position now. He is the number one and, you know, he's worked hard to where he is, you know. Like you said, he does walk like Alex Foster. You think, Jesus, he's not going to make tomorrow. But you know what? Back the next day, you know, ice baths after every practice, every game. He's awesome, you know. And it's only one or two games this year he hasn't turned up, you know. And not, you know, and it happens to every goalie has a bad game. But, you know, he's got the other guys in front of him to help him out, you know. So, but no, I think he's settled in really well this year. Long may it continue, you know. It's he's pushing Ben Bounds for Great Britain now, you know. So hopefully we'll have a bit of a battle there.
Absolutely, congratulations, Jackson. As Simon says, the second time this year, and the first player to have his name twice on that trophy. Thanks to Funacab for sponsoring the award. Around the league, I'll not do the Dubs jingle because we're just going to fire through it. Stevie Lee's hit, 2-game suspension, Davey.
Haven't seen it. Panther game.
Simon.
Yeah, I actually watched it earlier on. It's a bad hit. I mean, Stevie Lee's not that type of player, but Zach Fitzgerald beats him for speed, which you probably won't hear very often.
You don't hear that very often at all, do you?
Yeah, you know, he gets the blue line, he dumps the puck in, he keeps skating, and it's a bad hit. To be honest with you, 2 games, I think he's got off very, very lightly, and they might take his character into consideration because I can't remember Stevie Lee being suspended before. It's definitely, you know, the 2 games suspension, I think he's been very light. But and I think Fitzgerald's out injured. So it'd be interesting to see how long he's out for. But, yeah, 100% suspension.
You seen the hit, Taff?
Yeah, I seen it, yep.
What do you think?
Yep. It's a bad hit, yeah. it's a bad hit, but you know what? Like Simon said, Dewey Lee is not that type of player. He's not. You know, I've known him for a long time. You know, he's the captain of the Nottingham Panthers. He's not that type of guy. You know what? And it happens. You know, rush of blood.
Yeah. Tough week for the Panthers after being eliminated from the Challenge Cup. Davey, they went on to have a not-point weekend with a beating at the hands of their nearest and dear, shut out at home to the Sheffield Steelers, and then beaten by the reigning league champions, the league leaders, the Cardiff Devils. If you look at some of their social media, you look at some of the fans' reactions, there's a lot of Corey out being shouted. Is that fair?
And Paddy, this is a recurring theme with the Nottingham Panthers over a long number of years. You know, you've got to realise the success that ultimately Corey Neilson has brought that club over the last, what, it was since he retired, 6 years, 5-6 years, something like that, since he hung the skates up. He played in the championship season, didn't he, the league championship season, and then stepped down straight after and started the coaching full-time. He was a fair coach, was he?
I think so.
So, you know, and he's brought them a lot of playoff success. They've brought him a lot of Challenge Cup success. There's been silverware brought to Nottingham over the last lot of years. And the CHL thing has definitely hampered them this season. You know, they were, as somebody said to me earlier today, they were the last British team to be beaten at this season. And, you know, it's hampered their season. They came back from that. And didn't somebody write in the newspaper who can stop them, or it's theirs to lose? The league's theirs to lose, and 15 games, they've lost 15 out of their last 23 or something. You know, it's a sensationally bad run they're on. But, you know, I think if any other coach hadn't built up the sort of the money in the bank, if you like, that Corey has in terms of success that he's brought them, they would be under trouble. Now, I see this link that you sent through earlier on from the Case Forum about fans asking to have a protest to try and get the coach sacked. And I don't want to see anybody lose their job. You know, effectively, that's what people are asking. They're asking for a man to lose his livelihood. And, you know, it never ends well for a coach. There's very, very few coaches. You can take the likes of maybe Paul Eady aside. There's never a coach that really leaves a club on good terms. You know, they generally end up getting the boot eventually. But, you know, I'm not going to lose too much sleep over the predicament the Nottingham Panthers find themselves in. You know, they're a seventh-place team. That brings me a little joy. But, you know, I listened to the TCW and the guys standing outside in the rain just really shooting from the hip because they were disappointed at a 4-0 home loss. And, you know, we went through this a couple of weeks ago. We went to Sheffield and we got gubbed 8. You can't, Simon and me said, and you said all the time, you, and it's the hockey Mike Babcock cliche, you know, you can't get too high when things are good. And whenever you're in a bit of a bind, you can't get too low. It's a game of inches. And somebody said on that, you know, program the other night, we actually played quite well for 40 minutes. And to concede 4 goals against a team like the Sheffield Steelers isn't a massive tragedy. You know, we lost, what, 8 to them the other week ourselves. Their bigger problem at the minute is they seem to be going through games where they just can't. They came and scored 6 against us, so they can't be. There's accusations, well, we can't score goals. Well, you clearly can. There's an effort level there that at the Panthers, and you might believe though some of those players may not be playing for that coach. And you know, player power is a big thing, but it's a bigger thing in football. I think, you know, clubs stand by and they've stood by Corey through thick and thin, and he has brought them success. And as Taff has said there earlier in the show, they're a team built, or not necessarily built, they want to win the league every year, but they're a team that seem to have a recipe for success in one-off games and the short format tournaments. They can do well in the Challenge Cup. They've got the semi-final this year. They've the playoffs ahead of them, which they're going to qualify. And, you know, 2 games and they've got a home weekend. You know, I wouldn't rule them out of the playoffs, especially when we see the 3 games that they've played in Belfast over the last, you know, sort of 3-4 weeks. They're a good team, but nah, see this year, sign up and stand up and boo. Not for me.
Taff, you know, as Davey says, that's a sensationally bad run that they're on. They're losing games hand over fist, especially considering that they were doing so well in the CHL. It brings me back to that, what was it, an 11-game losing streak under Ed Courtney and trying to snap that. You know, the atmosphere of the guards in the room and how difficult it is to try to turn the tide. What sort of predicament do you think Corey's in now?
I don't think he's a tough predicament. You know, don't forget, they played a lot of hockey. You know, CHL. You know, these teams that play CHL and stuff like that, you know. what's the other one?
Continental
Cup. It's a lot of hockey. And if they, you know what, up until just before Christmas when that streak started, you know, their goalies were probably one and two in the league by far. And you know what? If your goalies are not performing, your players are thinking, geez, not another night. You know what I mean? You know, them two couldn't stop a beach ball. They could not stop a beach ball, them two. I think, you know, on paper, they are the best two-goalie tandem in the league. You know, I think they should bring, if they're struggling with goalies, they should bring in Gospel. Give him a shot to give them a wake up, you know. But I think Corey will be okay, you know. How many trophies has he won over the years, you know?
Well, I mean, you obviously know him a lot better than we would. You see, you've been on with him on Team GB. What type of guy is he?
He really nice guy. Really nice guy. Intense. The best out of his players. But you know what? He might have a bad guy in the room, and he can't put his finger on it or something like that. Some of the guys just like, you know, not doing it.
You know what? It's one of these things, Paddy. I think we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. They brought in somebody a few weeks ago, Pither. They brought in Pither. He had 11 teams in 5 years. And this guy, Vaskavoyu, has had 13 teams in 6 years. Now, to me, that means that could be awkward in the dressing room.
Yeah.
You know, the coaches don't want to keep him around. I just don't understand why they keep on bringing these. I mean, Pither, on his debut, scored 2 goals against us. He's done nothing since. That's exactly what I was going to say. Vaskavoyu made his debut last Wednesday night. He scored against us as well. It's, you know, you always want to play good in your debut. But I think Taft's 100% right. I think it's a matter of there's a poison in that dressing room and they need to get rid of it. But do you know what? For me, long may it continue. I hope they finish 10th. You know, 7th in the minute. And this is the point that I'm getting to now, guys. I really don't want to face them in the quarterfinals of the playoffs.
Agree.
I think they got rid of the wrong guy.
Which one?
Shala.
I think he's absolutely class.
I thought Shala was outstanding. You know, when he played against us early in the year, he was outstanding. I'm thinking, why are you getting top?
There has to be, Taff, that's one of those ones, there has to be more to that. Shala hadn't exactly dried up and he's gone back to the coast and burning it up there. Like, you know, he's over a point a game, I think, for the club that he's going back to. But,
yeah,
you know, no disrespect
to not. Now, you know what? Like Simon said, they could still win silver this year.
Yeah.
Do not count Nottingham Panthers out. I'm telling you now, when they want to turn up, they're going to turn up. And don't forget, they were missing Evan Mosey. They were missing Spang.
You know what?
There's two key players to your team. Whenever Mosey was in that lineup against us, he wasn't in the lineup against us in, was it in Nottingham, the one game?
Yeah, Nottingham, we beat them.
Right,
yeah.
He wasn't there.
Spang scores against us all the time.
Yeah, and then when he wasn't playing against us, you know, injured, like last week in the Challenge Cup, different team. I think he brings energy to that team.
Two quick points before we move on to look ahead. The Elite League have changed their playoff format. What was previously agreed was that the fact that the league champion would obviously be the number one seed, with the two conference winners being seed 2 and 3 based on where they finished in the league, I suppose, and everybody else would follow through. However, we now have a situation where it'll just be 1 through to 8 as per league standings, Davey.
Yeah, it seemed we kind of chatted about this. Like last week, I asked Todd Dudium the question. He just wasn't 100% sure why, if it had been a change that had been made, or whether he just wasn't 100% sure. But it does seem to do away for the necessity of the conference, I suppose. But, well, there's no reward, real strong reward for winning your conference anymore. But is the insured teams that maybe are looking like they could be heading towards the wrong end of the, it's a funny time that the decision or the press release went out.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one. The cynic in me looks at who's not riding high in the league standings. So they're looking at a better playoff position. But then that's just the cynic in me. Obviously, there's also been an announcement that the playoffs are now to be. I was stunned. There's actually going to be a sponsor. 3 years sponsors of the playoff by Bet Predictor. They'll be called the Bet Predictor Playoffs. Any thoughts on that? Really, I don't.
Highly powered oil, mate. Cardiff-based predictor bet.
Oh, the Cardiff-based?
Shocker.
Shocker.
It's one of those, I don't actually have an opinion on it.
No, me neither. Right,
I've seen the new social media policy.
let's look ahead. We've got three games in the next 7 days. We've got one tomorrow night against tonight, as this is going on Wednesday, of course, against the Dundee Stars, which will be at 7 p.m. We got the Caps on Saturday at home at 7 p.m. and we have the MK Lightning on Sunday at 4 p.m. We're going to chat in a moment with Jonathan Boxall. But first up, Davey had a chat with the head coach of the Dundee Stars, Omar Pasha.
We're joined this evening by Dundee Stars head honcho, Omar Pasha. And Pasha, welcome back to Adrian from the Bridge. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. Big privilege to be back.
Of course, and of course you bring your own team into Belfast later this evening for a titanic clash with the Belfast Giants. And how's all things with you in Dundee?
That's good. Fighting for that playoff, but it's after kind of a disappointing weekend, we're ready to start again tomorrow night in Belfast, the God's country, so we're all excited to get back there.
Let's look back at last weekend, the two losses to Brayhead Clan have really put a big dent in that challenge. You're just slightly sitting outside looking in, one more game against the Clan, which is, I think, next weekend, that's going to be a crucial game, maybe the weekend after, that's going to be a crucial point this season.
Yeah, well, I mean, for us, we're looking at every game one by one. We have 15 games left in the season, and we're 5 points behind with 3 games in hand. So there's still obviously a lot of hockey left to be played, but it's all crunch time, and every game for us will be a must win. And it starts tomorrow, and that those games against our conference team, Fife. This weekend and obviously Brea next week will be even bigger. So I'm looking forward to the challenge. It's going to be a great last 15 games, and I think the boys are up to it.
I guess, as you put it, there are three games in hand, 5 points back. It's still in your own hand. The destiny, I suppose, at this time of the season, if you had sat down at the start of the season and said, come Valentine's Day, we have an opportunity to still have the playoffs in our own hands. Is that where you would expect it to be, or were your sights slightly higher than where you are?
I think if you look back, and with the team that was recruited from prepared by Mark and then received by myself, I mean, I knew it would take a bit of time to evaluate the whole situation, the whole team. So obviously at the start of the year, you'd want to be in the playoffs at this point and comfortably, but. With all the injuries you had, the replacement guys that the changes we've made, and I have to say that I'm satisfied with where we are, because injuries wise, it's been horrendous. Losing players, key players at different times during the year, and having to play again too, which was unexpected. So I guess if considering everything, that all the adversity we had as a club, I think I would pick this position any kind of need.
Never like to single too many of individuals out in a team game like this, but Travers Fullerton's came across from Edinburgh up to Dundee there, and he's been pretty good for you between the pipes.
He's been good. He's been good, Trevor. I think at the start of the year, he went through a lot with the changes and everything, so he had to adjust. Obviously playing with a different personnel than now, but I think he's really, really found his game the last few weeks, and I think he had a really good start to the season. I just felt when we were short, we had to depend on him a bit too much, and we were giving up goals that I don't think many goals in the league would have stopped, and so I was really, really Travis high. I think he's one of the one of the best goalies, if not the best goalie in the league, and we're very fortunate to have him. And I think he's had a good season. And I think this last 15 games, we're gonna see the best out of him.
And the start of the last 15 games, obviously, we'll come back to tonight's game in the SSE. You've got to come here twice this season. We've been over there. You've kind of had our number a little bit over there. Greasy win on the first night of the season in the Challenge Cup. And then I think you had a shutout win against us another period. I think a 2-0 win against us. You know, we know what you're going to come with. You're going to come with speed, and you're going to come with that sort of standard Dundee formula that Mark Lefebvre has put into that club over the last number of years, and you've picked up and ran with. Just constant coming at you and coming at you and coming at you with your speed. Relentless would be a term that I've used about the Dundee Stars over the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, we try to, you know, use our speed, and, you know, as I said, we made a few changes. We had speedy guys, and I think, you know, tomorrow is going to be a different game, though. We're playing a team that's a bit changed from the Belfast team we played and we won last time. I mean, you guys made changes as well, and, you know, obviously, kind of different guys were injured at that time, and so it'll be an interesting challenge. We haven't seen them in a while. Obviously, watching video on Southside, we've had a, you know, had some successful games recently. So you know, we just got to get back to what we're good at, and that, like you said, using our speed in the neutral zone, attacking, and making sure we're steady defensively. And you know, we have a good bunch of guys, and I think they're really looking forward to playing again in a really nice arena like the SSE as well.
And this young guy on D, number two, Omar Pasha, were you expecting to have to play him 35 times this season?
No, didn't expect that, really. And with the injuries too, didn't expect to play that many minutes. Again, the injuries, as I said, was the worst part of me playing, but at least I get to stay in shape. And because, you know, at the start of the year, I have to admit, I put on a bit of weight, so it's good that I'm back playing now. I think finally seeing a bit of that six pack I used to have.
And, you know, that's...
I've never had a six pack. So
I know you're being very self-effacing there, Pash, but, you know, what are you, about 31, 32, something like that, you know, still plenty of hockey in you.
31.
Was it actually frustrating taking a step back from the game to be a full-time coach? Is it something, or is it now something that's almost in the way of being a coach that you have to play at the same time? Is it something you're enjoying? Is it hard to balance? Is it, you know, you still want to play?
Well, the thing is, when I came here and the discussion with Steve is to help grow the business on and off the ice, and we had great conversations, and that was the main thing when I spoke to, well, Steve and Mike, you know, and but I always said when I came here, I would do whatever is needed, you know, for the team, whatever is best for the team, I'll do. And you know, when we lost a few guys, I was, when you lost a few, two guys at the start, it started to creep in my mind that might be a possibility. And I think we lost another guy, and then we finally lost at the time Cam, the gift that was with us, and I thought that was just a turning point. It was like, all right, he's done for, I'm not going to ask, six, 7 weeks, so, you know, let's get back to skates and do this for the team. I was skating a bit, I was doing a lot of off-ice workouts, and at that time, I just felt it was the perfect opportunity to come back. And since then, we picked up more injuries, so I had to stay. And it looks like I'm going to be staying in the lineup for the end of the year. So, I don't know if I enjoy it. I mean, I think before the games, I do enjoy it. I get that switch again. But I think at the start of the year, I was ready to move on. But as I said, whatever is best for the team, I'll always do. So it kind of puts your own self on the side, and you have to think about the bigger picture.
Without going back and going over the whole Manchester story, where you know you took that franchise from nothing and you built it up, and you brought Neil Russell in and helped him grow, and obviously got him a job at Manchester City, then you must be pretty proud of your protege, how he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, I call him my golden child, you know. So I formed him. I gave him 2 good years of experience. He learned a lot from me, and now look at him flying out. And so I'm really happy. In a perfect world, hopefully one day we can maybe work again together. I think we both like working together. So we'll see. But I'm really happy for him. He's doing really well. And obviously now I think his main team is Pack, Belfast, I think. But I think Manchester's up there too. And Brian is thinking he's a Dundee fan, so I like that.
I don't know what business he will go into in the future together, because he knows nothing about hockey and even less about football, but we always wish him well. He's a good friend of ours. And but anyway, here, so we'll catch up with you tomorrow night at the SSE coach, and safe travels over.
Okay, thank you, David.
The final game of the weekend is the visit of the Milton Keynes Lightning. The Lightning of late maybe haven't had it the way they had a strong start to the season, but in since the turn of the year, unfortunately, we've only had a handful of wins. To talk to us about that, well, a man we know very well on the podcast, Mr. Jonathan Boxall. How are you, mate?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Yeah, doing well, doing well. As I said, you know, you guys went off to a pretty strong start to the season. You had wins over the Belfast Giants, wins over a lot of people. But as I said, since the turn of the year, it hasn't really gone your way. You've had a win against the Steelers, you had a win against the Capitals and stuff. But what's happened in the last wee while? You haven't been able to get that form that you started off so well with.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it hasn't been, the second half of the year has been a bit of a struggle for us. But, you know, I've been in these situations before with injuries, etc. And you look through the league and everybody's having injuries, everybody's getting suspensions. So in my opinion, I don't think that's an excuse. So it's, guys potentially are playing more minutes than they normally were expecting and playing a role that maybe, you know, extra roles, etc. But at the end of the day, there's no excuse. This is a very competitive league and everybody's having injuries. I mean, I spoke to Kiefer tonight. I was trying to convince him to dress for the game on Sunday, so I'd love to see that. So we'll have to wait and see if I see him flying around in warm-ups. But yeah, no, and he was saying the same thing. You guys have got injuries right now. Everybody does. So, I mean, if I had the answer, then I would obviously try and implement it here and things would change. But everybody's, you know, it's not for lack of trying. Everybody's working hard and everybody's committed to the team, etc. But there's still 14 games left. And at the end of the day, you got to play for pride. And also, guys are trying to, you know, play for jobs right now, because this game's that time of the year where guys are, you know, that aspect of what we do as professionals definitely comes into play. So hopefully we can, we've got a big game against Edinburgh on Thursday and then Manchester at home. And then what I've really been looking forward to, going back to Belfast on Sunday. So there's no time like the present to try and, you know, right the ship.
You're absolutely right about, you know, the injury aspect of it. Obviously, Mele, you know, Essery, all right. But one part where your team really has had problems and maybe a bit jinxed is goalkeeping. You know, you've went through quite a few import goalkeepers. O'Donnelly, Wiekman came in. Now you've got Passel in there. You know, I'm just looking at elite prospects as well. You've got six named goalkeepers over the last season. Of course, like you've got like Alan Long and Joshua Crane in there as well. But goalkeeping has been changing. When it comes to that and you get a new guy coming in trying to cover, do you have to adapt? Does the team have to adapt? Or are you hoping that the guy's just good enough just to sit in that spot?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely it's a huge, huge aspect of the team. I mean, we were very, very lucky that we were able to get a guy like Mika at that time of the year. The goalie we had originally at the beginning of the year, great goalie, plays for the Polish national team, was a really good guy, was successful the year before, but went down with an injury and also just went down. It felt bad for him because it was at the worst time of the year, but it was an injury that didn't look good. And, I mean, realistically, a first-year club, we can't go the first 6-7 weeks potentially without, you know, with a goalie. I mean, Jordan Headley's a great goalie and he works hard, etc., but it wouldn't be fair to put that workload on him his first year in the Elite League. So we were very, very lucky that we were able to find a guy like Mika at that stage of the year. But there has been a lot of moving parts. I mean, this has been the most guys in and out of a team that I've ever experienced. And that definitely plays a role. You know, it's been guys, you know, Ashley Tate, and we've had other couple of imports come in and out throughout the year, and it definitely plays a role. But we're very, very, very fortunate in the fact of, I've said this on a few occasions to guys on the team, etc., but we're really, really lucky that we have a really good room, because I can't stress to you enough, there have been times where if we did have a couple bad apples, and especially with the way the run of form has been going recently, then it would be a very unpleasant environment to be in. But we're very lucky that we do have a good group of guys, and everybody gets along with one another, and that's a huge aspect. So that definitely makes it enjoyable to go to work every day, because if that wasn't the case and we had a couple bad apples, then it would really be a tough place to play, especially when you're losing and you know, if you've got bad guys in the room, then that's not a fun environment to be in.
Of course, MK being a new team into the Elite League this year, and that step up from the EPIHL into what Elite League, and Pete Russell taking that team through, having had quite a bit of success at EPL level. How do you think that both Pete and the organisation has adapted to that change, that step up into the Elite League?
I played in the EPL when I was 16, but it was a completely different league when I played in it. I know a lot of the guys that have played in that league and a lot, obviously, the guys which were on the team last year. But it's just the level of professionalism through every aspect of the game. And that's no disrespect to the EPL, because it was a good league and it was definitely good for British development. But there's just certain things now with the way the league is, the bar is set so high that there are certain things that would definitely be considered a luxury, maybe potentially at the EPL level, but are an absolute necessity and what are expected at the Elite League level. And that, it sounds ridiculous, but it's up to the, you know, whether it be supplements, whether it be food after a game, whether it be the way you travel, the equipment you use, etc. You know, the bar has been set so high and the league is such in position that it is, that these things are absolute necessities, and the owners and Pete and everyone involved have definitely done a good job with providing everything that is what we need to be successful. So I think that's one aspect. The fan base is growing here, and I know that the people who own the team definitely have aspirations of growing the club as an identity in the town here. So it's definitely been a learning curve, and there have been moments through the year which I'm sure, potentially, that if we could go back in time as a team, maybe we would have done things differently, but that's part of the course. And I'm sure it was the same way with the Giants when they were, you know, it was their first year in the league, that you just have to learn as you go, really. But it's, we have a great group here, and the owners are definitely committed to winning, so that's the most important thing.
You know yourself, James Griffin, guys who have Elite League experience, British guys who have Elite League experience sitting on that team, but then also guys like, you know, Glenn Billing or Lewis Hook, who have taken that step up. Do you find a way that you take these guys under your wing and try to help them along into the Elite League, or are these guys, do you think, are they, you know, they're adapting to it pretty well?
Well, I did appreciate when we had Ashley Tate in the team, because I wasn't the oldest Brit, but now it is really, really strange to say that, but I kind of am the that kind of role. Like, you know, I obviously never put myself at his level, but kind of the way when I was in Belfast, the way that Sheds was and Murph and those guys, they kind of have been around a while, and if you ever had any questions, and they kind of led by example, and that's kind of the role I have. And you know, there's definitely certain aspects of the way things are as a younger guy in the league, that whether it, you know, you have to point them in the right direction to do certain things, and they're very receptive to that, so that's good. But the most important, especially with Lewis Hook, he's hungry to learn and he wants to progress as a hockey player. He's fully committed to being a pro and the way he goes about his business, and he wants to be a better hockey player. And if I can, you know, he's just significantly more offensive than I am, but if there's ways that I can help him with his defensive game and just little tricks, whether it be on face-offs or penalty killing, etc., try and bring more aspects to his game, because, I mean, we've discussed this before in regards to the league, where it is with the import level.
Yeah.
You have to bring more to your game. You can't rely on being a top six guy. I mean, there's very few guys in this league who are Brits who are at that level now where they can do that. You know, the Dowdies and the Clarks and the, you know, there's a handful of guys, where it's predominantly a lot of Brits now are in that sort of bottom six role, and that's the kind of thing that I mean Hookie definitely has the ability to play top 6 minutes, but it's kind of bringing that the more you can bring as a player, as a portfolio of what you can do, the better it's going to be to get a job, and you know, the better hockey player you're going to be. So that's kind of what I've helped him with this year, and as I said, he's very receptive, and you know, I can see him certainly having a good career down the road.
It's interesting you go down that road with regards to these guys developing. There's a bit of a buzz going around Liam Kirk at the Sheffield Steelers at the minute. What do you think?
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think you've bent up against them?
Yeah, I mean, the last two times I played against him, I think he scored, and the last goal he scored was, I mean, it was a very, very nice goal. So he's very, very, very talented, and it's great to see that he's getting some buzz in regards to NHL exposure. And all credit to everyone in Sheffield who's been a big part of his development there. And it's just great for the sport. So I wish him nothing but the best. And He's definitely a great talent, and we're lucky that he's decided to stay in the UK for his development. I mean, that's a great sign that for future generations that you can progress and you can be a success, and hopefully he can potentially use this as a stepping stone to further his career. So I wish him nothing but the best, and by all accounts he's a great guy and a really good kid, so I wish him all the best down the road.
Yeah, but about a lot of chat going on about him now. Come back, let's bring it back to MK. You guys unfortunately sitting down just in 11th place. Are you in that playoff dogfight?
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely, trust me, no one here is folding their tent. We're definitely going to push all the way to the end, and that's the goal, is to try and make playoffs, and there's only one way we can do that, and it's winning games. We can't, you know, the looking at what other teams are going to do and who needs to beat who, etc. That's irrelevant for us. We need to win games. It's as simple as that. And it's a pride thing as well. I can't stress that enough. Like, I don't like losing, and I'm sure I can tell that no one else in that room likes losing. So we need to figure this out. And we're lucky that we have three games this week, and there's no better time. We're also getting some bodies back, which will certainly help, and it will kind of relieve certain guys from doing certain things, which maybe they're not, they certainly are capable of doing, but it's not what they've been brought here to do. So once we get healthy, hopefully we can get back on course. But I can't stress enough, as I said earlier, in my opinion, injuries aren't an excuse. They really aren't. So once we get these bodies back, hopefully that will help us.
Well, as you say, you know, that game against Belfast is coming up, thick and fast, it's coming up on Sunday. What are your thoughts about that? Obviously, you've had the better of Belfast already this season. Can the Milton Keynes Lightning go into the Odyssey and give them a challenge?
Yeah, I mean, we're certainly going in there with the full intentions to come in there and have a good game and do everything we can to win. I'm personally really looking forward to coming back. I really enjoyed my time in Belfast, and I'm lucky that Alyssa, my fiance, she's over from the States, so she's actually going to be coming over with me as well. And I really enjoyed my time in Belfast, and I'm still very, very close and friendly with a lot of the guys on the team and also people away from hockey in Belfast. So, we're both really looking forward to getting back there and seeing everyone, and it will be a fun experience for sure.
I can't let you go without asking you a question about one of our guests or guest panelists this week is the one and only Jason Taff-Ellery. Now, you know as much as most of you that the travel in Belfast is quite demanding, and with that, Taff goes above and beyond for the players and enable them the best opportunity to go out and perform for you guys in peak condition.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak highly enough about Taff and everything he does. In my opinion, he kind of has set the bar of what is expected now of an elite league equipment manager, and he really kind of took the ball with the horns with that, and he's a great guy, and he's definitely a team first guy. I mean, there was nights where we would come back late from a game, and it would be three in the morning or whatever, and we'd have a game the next day, and he would tell everyone to just go straight to bed, and he'd unpack the gear, and I don't even know what time he would end up falling asleep. Just so we make sure we had dry equipment for the next day. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there listening who will think that's not, you know, a major issue, but for certain guys, you know, the way their equipment is a big factor. And he's a real team first guy, and the Giants are very lucky to have him in the organization. And I can't speak highly enough about him as a teammate, because obviously equipment manager is part of the team, and as a human being as well. So you're very lucky to have him there in Belfast, and long may it continue, because he is a great guy.
Well, that game is on Sunday against the MK Lightning. Jonathan, thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, and I'll see Kiefer flying around in warm-ups, and I'll chuckle about that.
Thanks to Pash and to Jonathan Boxall. That game for Wednesday night versus Dundee, 7 p.m. Saturday night against the Caps, 7 p.m. and on Sunday against the MK Lightning, 4 p.m. Taff, thoughts on Boxy?
Boxy?
Aye.
Great guy. Great guy. Love working with him. Really nice guy, but he's got crocodile arms.
He's got crocodile arms.
Yes, it's either that or he's got long pockets. He's a great.
Well, he's back in town. I know he's staying with it for a while. Oh, and
or he's taking for lunch. Yeah, that's Boxy.
The Okay, any other business? Anybody? Davey?
No.
Nothing? Simon?
Yeah. Our very good friend, Laura Small, is doing something. I mean, we all know how good she is regarding getting the, you know, helping the kids who have had through a bit of tough times over the last number of years, helping out, whether it be fundraising or whether it be just, you know, getting them to meet the players or, you know, all these wee things that maybe a lot of people don't take into consideration. But we all know that even though she can be fierce at times, she's got her heart's in the 100% right place. And now she's going down the line of having her hair shaved off for three different charities. Right, Boxy did it. We just talked about Boxy there. Boxy did it for a charity. Oh God, I can't remember the name of it now. A couple of years ago. And Laura, on the 24th, is having her hair shaved for three different charities now. Angel Wings is one.
Northern Cancer Fund.
Yeah, like Northern Cancer Fund is the other. There is another one that we'll get those details tweeted up because I just can't remember what the other one is. But if you can spare a pound, 50p, 20 quid, £100, whatever you can spare, please help out with her because she's just absolutely top, top notch. For somebody to go out and do that. And she'll tell you, you know, she's never burned her ears before.
No.
You know, that's one thing that she's, when she's getting her hair, her ears are going to stick out. She's got the small ears, as in John Small ears. So, but we all know she's top, top notch. And we all should support her in any way we can.
Big part of the family.
It's outstanding from her. You know, I think it's, you know, just when you think she can't do much more, she goes and does this. If she needs any tips on what it's like to have your head shaved, you know, I can happily provide. You know, I do mine voluntarily as well.
I'm just going to do your hair. I'd rather a barber do it for Lauren, honestly.
Davey, you said you had something there?
Yes, Paddy. Young lad who has kind of touch of autism, Craig Lacey, at the game at the weekend there celebrating his 12th birthday, told his mum would give him a shout out at the end of the show. Another good guy that has started following the Giants over the last 18 months and found the involvement with the players. He seems to be Rudy, Bryce, Sheds, Jackson, guys at Boomerang Corner as well, taking them under, you know, they come along to get something of the camaraderie with the Belfast Giants and it helps them out and they forget about being autistic and they're defined by the good things that are going on in their life, the good things that are going on with the Giants and all these kids. Fantastic. We love being involved with all that stuff and happy birthday, Craig, from all us here at AVFTV.
Here, here. Mr. Ellery, do you have anything?
No, I'm good.
Well, that's
what we need.
That's it. Well, we got, yes, three games, I would say. Dundee, Caps on Saturday, and MK Lightning on Sunday. Thanks to everybody for sending in their all the stuff through the week on all their TFAs. Taff, thank you very much for joining us on this week's show.
Thank you for having me. Been a pleasure.
We had great fun chatting with you and some great stories there. Mr. Kitchen and Mr. McGimsey.
Bye, no bother. Talk soon, boys.
And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. And we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge. Steal you right. Steal you right.